Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So here's the question from Stephanie Rule, and then Kamala's rambling answer about holistically. This is a bad candidate. I'm telling you right now, I've worked with bad candidates in my lifetime. This is a candidate who has to memorize her lines, and she's not good at reciting them. This makes no sense. And you know what it reminds me of, too? Reminds me of somebody where, you know how you ever sit around you're at the bar, you're drinking with your friends, and time goes on, and then people start spewing their political ideas, and then it sounds so kooky, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, I don't understand, if only people could just all get along, it's kind of like that. And you just go, you're thinking to yourself, all right, you've had too much, but go with it. You're feeling good, and that's what it reminds me of. So take a listen.
For people who want to buy a home, yes, getting a $25,000 kicker would be great. But it's not just affording a home. We don't have enough in this country.
You're absolutely right.
And one of the main problems are regulations and rules, strict rules at a local level. How does the federal government cut through all that red tape and get down to, the suburbs of Pittsburgh and say, we're going to have to build some affordable housing here? How do you connect the two?
So you're absolutely right. So across our country, people rightly are concerned about the cost of housing. So it's home ownership, to your point. We need more supply. That is, without any question, part of the solution. Creating more supply under my plan includes creating tax incentives to work with the private sector and home builders. Part of my goal and the plan would be to create 3 million new housing units for rent and for ownership by the end of my first term. It includes also what we must do to cut red tape. You're absolutely right. It takes far too long, and there's too much bureaucracy associated with home building. And I say that as a devout public servant. I know that we have to reduce the red tape and speed up what we need to do around building. And that is going to require working from the federal level with state and local governments. And it's going to be different in different places, depending on the needs of that community, the needs of that local government, that municipality, but working in consultation and coordination and also around incentives that we can create. For example, some of the work is going to be through what we do in terms of giving benefits and assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars and looking holistically at the connection between that and housing. And looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing for working people.
Then let me ask.
Holistically. It's the federal government of the United States of America holistically taking over the housing market, which is the exact opposite of what they've done in Argentina, which has resulted in 40% less rents, 40%. Rents have gone down 40%. But holistically speaking, it's just, and somebody's drunk and they just keep repeating themselves. She does that a lot, by the way. She does that a lot. With that holistic nonsense that she does. Here's another one. This is Stephanie Rule to Kamala. When the Teamsters decided not to endorse you, what was their reasoning? She avoids the question. Cut six.
Not all unions have gotten behind you. I want to understand, when the Teamsters decided not to endorse you, what was their reasoning? What are they looking for?
Well, let me go back to our just previous conversation. I'm very proud to have the endorsement of the steelworkers and almost every other major union in America, because I stand by workers and I stand by the importance of being able to join a union and to understand the benefit and the value of unions. And I understand the importance of investing in new industries and working actively with the private sector to grow our economy.
But I'm asking because there's this idea, we want something more from her. What is it?
Well, here's the thing, that back to your point about previous election cycles, Donald Trump made a whole lot of promises that he did not meet.
See, she can't answer the question.
And one would argue broke.
She can't answer the question. This was a bad interview. So she's getting panned all over for this, all right? She's getting panned all over for this interview that she gave to Stephanie Rule. Because it was supposed to be a sweetheart interview that was supposed to be easy as it possibly gets. Kamala's softball interview scorched by the New York Times. Here's what the New York Times said. It elicited few details. Roundabout responses that did not provide a substantive answer. A hard-hitting Harris interview is still yet to come. The New York Times Reid Epstein, among the first to correctly observe Liz Cheney's ultimate demise, led with a blistering review, saying the interview elicited few details as Kamala avoided direct questions about how she would govern and why some voters remain fond of former President Donald J. Trump's stewardship of the economy. He went on to blast Kamala for responding to basic and predictable questions with roundabout responses that did not provide a substantive answer, while noting the lack of questions around positions Ms. Harris supported during her 2020 presidential campaign, or what, if anything, she knew about Mr. Biden's physical condition or mental acuity. That's right. No questions around any of that. This is, again, the far right wing New York Times. CNN, Scott Jennings, going on with this particular interviewer was like effectively interviewing her with her campaign's press secretary. She had nothing new to say in the economy besides this ridiculous pablum. Alex Thompson from Axios, the interview was with somebody who went on TV last Friday and said, I'm basically voting for Kamala Harris. My award from Politico, the campaign's decision to select Rule, a friendly interviewer for Harris, for the first national solo sit-down interview, has drawn criticism. Daniel Dale from CNN, Harris made a false claim about the jobs record of a Republican opponent, former President Donald Trump. Glenn Kessler, Washington Post fact-checker, Harris flubs manufacturing jobs claim. Rebecca Robinson from The Express, Kamala Harris left stumped and speechless by difficult questioning during grilling on MSNBC. And it goes on and it goes on. Dwayne Patterson from Hot Air, she had no understanding what she was saying about tariffs or anything else. And here's Stephanie Ruhle reacting to the own interview that she did with Kamala Harris about how she didn't give clear and direct answers. Even Stephanie Ruhle acknowledges that fact. Cut 10.
Well, she didn't give a clear, direct answer. That's okay, because we are not talking about clear or direct issues.
That's okay. She didn't give a clear and direct answer. That's okay, because we're not talking about clear and direct issues. A total dodge. It's bad. It's bad. And the New York Times said it best. A hard-hitting Harris interview is still yet to come. When you've lost the New York Times, it's bad. It's bad. The vice president repeatedly dodged direct questions and stuck firmly on message, repeating the talking points and avoiding the direct questions. Dave McCormick wants to be the next senator for Pennsylvania. He's going to join me next. Let's hear how the campaign's going. It's very important that we win this one. Let's come right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tell you, Dave McCormick's rocking it. He's rocking it all across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and he's my guest right now. The next, let's hope, knock on wood, Senator for the great Commonwealth. My buddy Dave McCormick joins us now. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Rich. How are you, buddy? How's everything?
Everything's great. You're working hard. You're everywhere. You're everywhere. I think there's like six copies of you.
I am everywhere. I'm in Erie today, which, as you know, is a bellwether, and we're talking about Bobflation, which is the result of all this crazy spending that Biden and Harris and Bob Casey's voted for. And it's killing working families in Erie and people on fixed income. And it's the number one issue I hear about everywhere I go.
I love that one ad you guys have. The way he says, you know, boneless chicken's gone up 32%. I crack up every time I hear that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's a guy who says that, you know, his whole reason for being a senator is to help working families. And working families under Bob Casey and under the last 3.5 years under Biden and Harris has been disastrous. I mean, this war on fossil fuels, fuel prices up 50%, grocery prices up 21%, rent up 22%. I mean, this is really, really squeezing people across Pennsylvania. And, Rich, you know this, but 60% of Pennsylvanians live paycheck to paycheck, so they're feeling it. And Bob Casey's trying to change the conversation and say it's about greed. This isn't about greed. This is about stupid, bad policy and skyrocketing spending that's really hurting working families.
Yeah, that statement, that comment that he made yesterday, that this is price gouging, it's and you know, blaming grocery stores and blaming stores for their prices, it's so out of touch. And given that Pennsylvania's number one industry is agriculture, and I know you were with President Trump out in Western PA when you guys were talking to the farmers and you were dealing with all that, and they're saying it. Look, the price of fuel is driving up the price of everything, and you got these family farms shutting down. And then to hear Casey come out and blame, you know, like there's this cabal of grocery stores that are all just deciding to raise prices. It's just shameful.
Well, it really is, and it's such a election year gimmick because he knows that it's the policies. I mean, every economist, Larry Summers, they all said, who's a Democrat, was Treasury Secretary for Clinton, they all said that if you spend $5 trillion of new money, it's going to drive up prices. So they knew what they were getting into. Bob Casey said, go big or go home. They had to have all these hundreds of billions of dollars of subsidies, all these giveaways. And as a result now, he's trying to change the conversation. And the real ridiculous thing is this idea of legislation that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, would start to get involved in setting prices. It's like Venezuelan price controls. And he says this legislation exists all over America, exists in Pennsylvania. It doesn't. That's a complete lie. There's legislation, which I support, which is if there's a national emergency, a crisis, there's a flood, you can't jack up the price of rowboats in the middle of a flood because people, it's an emergency. But that's different than price controls that he's proposing. And this is the socialist agenda of Kamala Harris and Bob Casey. And that's what we're going to get if, God forbid, Harris wins and Casey wins in November. That's why this election, Rich, is so important.
You got a big endorsement today, Dave McCormick. You picked up a great endorsement by the Philadelphia Firefighters and Paramedics Union, Local 22. They said they're proud to endorse Dave McCormick for U.S. Senate because Pennsylvanians are desperate for new leadership. After meeting with both candidates, we feel that McCormick understands the challenges first responders are facing and will support policies that make our lives better and the city of Philadelphia safer. That's great.
Yeah, I felt great about it. I had a chance to meet with the leadership team there earlier this week. And listen, I've got, you know, I wore a different uniform, but I served in the military for 9 years, served in the 82nd Airborne Division, and I feel a real connection to the Fraternal Order of Police, the 44,000 police officers who have also endorsed me. They switched their endorsement from Bob Casey to me.
Yeah, that was huge, by the way. That's great. Huge, I don't want to bury the lead on that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Congratulations on that. I should have started with that.
Yeah,
that's great.
And listen, it's because I have their back. I recognize that our communities, if they're not safe from crime, if we don't have the right first responders to deal with a fire in a time of crisis, we don't have safe communities. We're not going to have communities where small businesses can prosper, where we can have our families walk the streets. And so I've got their back, and I want to make sure they're adequately funded. I want to make sure that they have the training they need. I want to make sure they have the retirement benefits that make that an attractive career. We have a huge recruiting crisis in our law enforcement because they haven't been taken care of. Bob Casey's been AWOL. He has not stood behind our law enforcement. He has not stood behind our men and women in uniform, also the firefighters. And that's what they can count on from me. And I think we need to have adequate funding. I think we need to get tough on crime. We need to get rid of guys like Larry Krasner, who Bob Casey has stood by, and make our streets safe again. This is the number one issue when I'm in around Philadelphia. I talk to suburban families, talk to people in Philadelphia. They say the crime's out of control, and I see it when I'm there. And I know you must see it, too, because I know you live nearby.
Absolutely. And Dave McCormick, the other thing, too, I want to talk about is the support of Jewish Democrats who are supporting you. You've been very outspoken about anti-Semitism, and I think that that's wonderful. I think that's great. In fact, you even wrote an op-ed about this recently in the New York Post and saying that Bob Casey has done nothing on this issue.
He's been weak. Listen, first of all, for your listeners who want to know more about me, I'm at DaveMcCormickPA.com, and they can see my views on a whole set of positions. But the most important thing they need to know is that I'm running a campaign that's to bring strength back to the Senate, common sense policies, I'm a combat veteran. I'm someone who's been a business leader, created jobs in Pennsylvania. I'm an outsider. Bob Casey is a career politician. He's been in office for 18 years in the Senate. He's been weak and adopted a very liberal agenda. And a good example is his weakness on Israel. This is a guy who signed the Iran deal in 2015 that gave Iran back $100 billion of sanctioned money, and they've used that money to support terrorism. Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, all these terrorist proxies have been supported by Iran. And Bob Casey, there's a direct line from Bob Casey's weakness to the terror act and the death we're seeing in Israel and throughout the Middle East. The second thing is that he's been a soft voice. He's kept his head down on anti-Semitism. When Liz McGill at the University of Penn president didn't stand up to anti-Semitism, I said, fire her. I was one of the first people to say fire. Bob Casey said nothing. When Summer Lee, who is a congresswoman in Pittsburgh, an avowed anti-Semite, she was endorsed by Bob Casey. He doesn't pull back his endorsement. This is a weak man who does not stand up, is not willing to put his head above the foxhole in times of war. And we just can't have that right now. We're in a time of crisis where we need leaders with moral courage and the willingness to take on a tough fight. And that's just not Bob Casey.
And Dave McCormick, you know, the thing about it, too, is that the number one issue by far is the economy. Absolutely. And you're dealing with this on this Bobflation tour, as you're talking about. You've been touring grocery stores. And what are people saying to you about the price of food? And I mean, the struggle has got to be real out there, no doubt about it. We know price controls are not going to solve it. It seems to me like at the core of this is energy. And here we are in Pennsylvania on top of this gigantic Marcellus Shale. We have the opportunity here to really contribute energy to the world, by the way, and to stop countries like Venezuela and Russia from getting richer. And energy has to be a big topic on everybody's minds right now.
You're not kidding. You know, I'm in Erie today, and I gave a speech this morning for the Marcellus Shale Coalition. So there's 250, 300 energy executives. Bob Casey wasn't able to find the time to be there for that, so he called in. And I want to use that as an example of what Bob Casey has done time and again. He has been a foe, not a friend, of our energy sector in Pennsylvania, and particularly fracking. And, Rich, if there's one thing we could do, you know, the key in leadership is there's a lot of things you want to do, but you got to pick the one or two things you're going to do. The one thing we got to do is unlock our energy potential in Pennsylvania, particularly natural gas.
Yes.
So it's not just keeping the jobs we have. I mean, under Kamala Harris and Bob Casey, we're going to lose those 330,000 jobs, but it's doubling, tripling, quadrupling. We sit on the fourth largest natural gas reserves in the world. If we were a country, we'd be number four, and we can't get that natural gas out of the ground. We can't get the permits to get pipelines to send it across state lines. We don't have the export facilities to send it abroad. Listen, Kamala Harris says she's no longer going to ban fracking. What she and Bob Casey are going to do is they're going to ban fracking without saying it by EPA regulations, by five-year wait and red tape to get drilling licenses, by the inability to get pipelines. That's the way they're going to strangle our energy industry. There's a war on fossil fuels, and it's disastrous for Pennsylvania. And here's the final thing I'll say. I know I'm going on here, Rich, but this is good for the environment. We have reduced carbon emissions in the United States by about 20% over the last 10 years. It's because of the natural gas revolution. That natural gas is a clean source of energy. We need to export it around the world. We need to replace coal-fired plants in India. That's the path to a better environment, not by eliminating and getting rid of your Ford 150 pickup and subsidizing China for lithium batteries to support electric vehicles that you're mandated to buy. That's the Biden-Harris-Casey plan, and it's destroying our economy.
Yeah, no, you said it so well, Dave McCormick, and that's another key point here that I want everyone to realize, which is that, you know, if Trump gets in there and you get in there, you're going to be investing in natural gas. It's not just going to stay status quo. The industry is going to grow, and we'll have liquid natural gas export facilities right here in Philadelphia and in other places in Pennsylvania, and then we can supply the world, and that will be huge. But, I mean, we're dealing with right now, as we speak, we still have a ban on liquid natural gas exports by the Harris-Biden administration, of which, by the way, Bob Casey's such a failure, he has not been able to get them to lift.
I heard him say the other day, this is what cracks me up about this guy. I heard him say, I sent a stern letter to the president. Are you kidding me? Like, this is the senior senator from Pennsylvania, right?
Right.
This was presumably Joe Biden's best friend, and he can't get the ban on LNG lifted. I mean, it's laughable. And I think Pennsylvanians have been dealing with him for so long and his lack of doing anything, they've just gotten used to it. Listen, we're arguably the most important state, our Commonwealth, the most important state in the country. Politically, we're a battleground state. We've got the fourth largest economy of incredible natural resources. The country was born in Pennsylvania, for God's sakes. We deserve a senator who's going to punch above our weight and get Pennsylvania where it needs to be in terms of the national conversation and get the policies that put Pennsylvania on a better path. We're sadly headed in the wrong direction in Pennsylvania, and I love it, and I want a better future for Pennsylvania and for all our kids that are going to grow up here, and it's about leadership. That's the difference.
Yeah, and by the way, the sternly worded letter was followed up by a sternly worded email. So, you know, there was that from Casey. Exactly. How pathetic.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's hard to believe. Yeah, it's hard to believe.
Well, you're doing a great job, buddy. I'm proud of you. You're working so hard, and I know that you're asking everybody to go to DaveMcCormickPA.com and follow you at DaveMcCormickPA on social media and get those mail-in ballots in, right? You want people to start voting now and vote early and do it.
Right. Right. We're set up to win this. There's wind at our back. I think there's wind at President Trump's back. The more people learn about Kamala Harris, the more people learn about Bob Casey, the more they recognize that that's a direction they don't want to go. I'll leave you with one thought, Rich, which you and I have talked about this. I wrestled in high school and college. And the thing I learned in college and the thing I believed is if I could get into the third period within a point or two, I would win. And the reason I would win is that the third period is almost nothing to do about wrestling. It's about mental toughness. It's about staying on offense. It's about being aggressive. It's about defining the future. That's what these final 40 days are about. And for your listeners, I need their help. I need them to get engaged. I need them to get their friends out to vote. I need them to get out to vote. You know, this is the most important election of our lifetimes, and we got to seize our future here, and I'm excited to be part of it.
Dave McCormick, thanks for joining us, my friend. We'll talk again very soon.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And that's the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. And President Trump is expected to make remarks in a few minutes, so we're going to take a quick break, but I just want to grab a couple calls real quick. Mike's in Flemington. Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Well, first, great show and a great interview with Mr. McCormick, so I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things when the vice president was with Zelensky, I think we have to start going on the offense. It would have been nice for President Trump to be in Maui saying, I'm going to get you help to rebuild your houses. If J.D. Vance was in Ohio and East Palestine saying, we're going to get you money to clean the poisoned lands you live on. That's what Make America Great is about. And we're not doing that enough. And that would have been a great 180 from what Kamala's doing.
I'm pretty sure Trump did go to East Palestine. I got to double check that, but I'm pretty sure he did.
Way back when.
But Biden didn't go until way after. He went there first.
You're 100% correct. I'm saying 40 days out, we have to show that we're putting Americans first. We're going to give money to East Palestine because you're still living on poisoned land. We're going to build houses in East Maui, Maui because of the fire that hasn't been done to this day. Flint, Michigan still has lead in the water from 10 years ago. And
yeah.
Where we got to put America first.
These are important infrastructure issues you're raising. I'm sure that they will be addressed. They need to be. Mike, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Joe in Royersford. Joe, how are you?
Hey, Rich. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Joe?
I'm going to address the caller earlier, the insurrection guy. I tell you, Rich, I kept hearing Howard Cosell say, down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. That guy, if that was the point, they would stop it. That guy just kept getting up for more. But anyway, with the comment that Harry said thing here, she should have been holistic during the COVID thing. They shut all the small businesses down for a friggin' 99.9% recovery rate virus, but they have no holistics there, Rich, as you know. And I got a good plan for, we'll never lose another election again if you listen to this plan, Rich. I think the conservatives should start supporting abortions, fund abortions for them. And then eventually, they'll abort themselves in, they'll be in stink, right? And we won't, we can't lose another election.
You're a sick man. You know that? You're just a sick man, Joe.
There won't be none of them left. think about this, Rich. Plus, I don't want to come back. What if reincarnation is real, Rich? Do you want to come back falling out of one of these green-haired freaks?
Joe,
I know.
Joe, I got to run. Trump's going to speak soon. I got to take a break. I got to run.
All right, brother. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Joe. You enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for that incredibly disturbing.
Stay home, but I'm telling you.
Thank you, Joe. All right. I got to run. All right. Quick break, and then we'll get Trump's press conference. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We're awaiting remarks from the former president, Donald Trump, and hopefully he'll come out soon. It seems he's usually pretty on time for these things. And we have some great guests coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well. But I wanted to mention something. And, you know, this is earlier what I said regarding my comments about Eric Adams. Look, the dude may be dirty. I don't know. But it's only because he spoke out against the Biden administration that they decided to go after him. And that's the bottom line. And everybody should understand that. A couple things I want to get to from the Trump assassination hearing today. Congressman Mike Kelly, who's going to be on the show next week, is the chairman of this assassination subcommittee, a task force. His point here is excellent, too. Really, really important here about how he was on the roof for over 3 minutes before shots were fired. Let's start with Cut 13, Matt. This is Representative Mike Kelly from Pennsylvania.
Evidence showed that Crooks was on the roof of the AGR building for over 3 minutes before shots were fired. Lieutenant Harold, please describe those few minutes leading up to the shots fired from your vantage point.
My position when the shots were fired, I was behind the stage. I can't answer to any questions regarding Mr. Crooks on the roof, because I did not have that information. I was behind the stage. It was very loud, and if it was transmitted over our portables, I did not hear that. But I had returned to my car briefly once the former president had taken the stage to retrieve a cell phone that had first net, and then I was returning back to the stage when the first shot rang out.
Officer Blasco, same question.
At that time, I was at Brady Paul, and I was working my way over to the AGR building to assist other Butler Township units with looking for Crooks. As I got to the water tower, I parked underneath the water tower and began to make my way to AGR. That's when the shots rang out.
And then here's Congressman Mike Kelly making the point about, I can't understand why no one said, let's keep Mr. Trump inside until we clear this up. Cut 14.
Problem going back to the actual sighting of Mr. Crooks more than once and way, way before 11 minutes after 6. I think that one of the things is the panel has heard from different people at different times is of the thousands of people that were on the grounds that day, there is repeatedly one person that keeps standing out in the back and forth, all the different communication. And it is, in fact, Thomas Crooks that they're talking about. So we knew there was somebody that was very suspicious. We also knew there was somebody that we weren't able to actually come in contact with, and we kept losing contact with him. We saw him with a rangebinder. We saw him doing things that were not probably in line with what people go to a rally for. And I think that I'm constantly going to be wondering at what point.
All right, Trump speaking. Let's jump in here and hear the former and future president.
Well over a year. You may find it disturbing, but the posts are paying off with millions of views and people talking about nothing.
That's not Trump. What is this now? What do we got?
He's walking up on Fox now.
Oh, okay. I'm a few seconds ahead of you. Okay.
Yeah. They're making a
gotcha.
Direction.
Gotcha.
To,
okay.
Here, I'll let you know as soon as you start speaking.
No problem. So I have at the Scioli home studio where I'm quarantined with shingles. My stream is a little bit ahead of what they have back at the studio at Comcast. But nevertheless, the president, future president, Again, DeSantis' feet is also ahead as well. So, all right. We can just jump in here. Go ahead.
And they share it, and they probably had never had a Nutter Butter cookie, and now it's a hot thing.
My kids love Nutter Butter.
I'm talking about Nutter Butters.
We'll get you.
Are you on Fox News, or what do you want?
Yeah, I'm on Fox News. I'll check it real quick. Let me try and fix it.
No, I'm curious why they were talking about Nutter Butters. I just was wondering about that. But it seems like he's been speaking for a little bit of time now. It should be there now, no? Let's see. Make sure we're not on, like, local Fox or something. And get Trump when we can. We're working on it.
Look at this. Why would you do that? There can be no justification for what she's done. There's nobody saying, oh, gee, she's done a fabulous job. She's done the worst job probably in the history of any border, not just our border. She keeps talking about how she supposedly wants to fix the border. We would merely ask, why didn't she do it 4 years ago? It's a very simple question. I can say this with everything she has. She talks about borders and taxes and all these different things. And her policies on tax, by the way, are terrible. But I can say it for everything. Why didn't she fix it almost 4 years ago? She's got no plans, got no talent, got no ability to do it. I'm here today to present you with the facts and only the facts about how Comrade Kamala Harris willfully threw open our border, helping to virtually destroy our country. Our country's never been under siege like this. 4 years ago, Kamala inherited the most secure border in U.S. history, with the lowest illegal immigration on record. You know the chart. I love that chart. I love that chart. I probably wouldn't be here right now except for that chart. Those who violated our borders were captured, detained, and quickly sent back home under the Trump administration. But on her first day in office, Kamala Harris terminated every single Trump policy that sealed and secured the border. She ordered an immediate stop to the completion of the border wall. It was almost complete. We built hundreds and hundreds of miles of wall, and it worked. I always said walls and wheels. Everything else is obsolete, but walls and wheels, and this wall worked. And we were ready to build and throw up another 200. Could have been done within weeks. Everything was complete. The wall was all built, ready to go, laying there, ready to be fixed. All they had to do is throw it up, and you would have had an extra 200 miles of wall, far more than I promised in the election. She suspended all deportations. She instituted catch and release across the entire southern border. And we had catch and release also, but we released in Mexico. Her catch and release was to release in the United States and never see them again. She sent Congress a bill demanding amnesty for all illegal aliens, every single illegal alien, even if they're criminals, even if they're murderers, even if they're drug dealers, human traffickers. She wanted amnesty for everybody. Radical left. This is a radical left person. She terminated Remain in Mexico, something that took me and a lot of talent, a lot of other people, but it took a lot of talent to get from the president of Mexico, a good man. But we got it. You had to remain in Mexico. You couldn't come in under any circumstance. You weren't allowed into the United States until we checked it out, and many people did not come in and were not allowed to come in because they didn't check out. They were drug dealers, they were gang members, they were in jail for murder in a couple of cases. We wouldn't let them in. And she canceled every Safe Third agreement. Anybody here, I think, would know what that is, but that was a horrible thing that she did. And she canceled Remain in Mexico. Here we have something, Remain in Mexico. You'd have to explain it. She canceled. She ordered ICE to halt the removal of virtually all criminal aliens, including MS-13 gang members, the worst gang anywhere in the world, they say. Evil, evil gang. She ended all of our programs that we instituted to stop child and woman trafficking. The trafficking is at a level now that it's never been before. I had it down to the lowest level it's been in 32 years because we had such a strong border. They couldn't get through. But now it's the worst it's been in 32 years plus. And then she lost, and this is probably the worst statistic of them all, 325,000 children. Think of that. 3.5 years. She lost 325,000 children. And they're either dead, being sold into sex slavery, or just plain missing. Think of the number, 325,000. If that were a Republican instead of her, and she was the border czar, she says, well, I wasn't the border czar, she was. And tomorrow she'll make a case that, oh, she did a fairly good job. You can't say much. You can't justify it. She should save her airfare. She should go back to the White House and tell the president to close the border. He can do it with the signing of a signature and a piece of paper to the Border Patrol. Instead, she's going there to try and convince people that she wasn't as bad as everybody knows she was. She was the worst in history. Grossly incompetent, weak, and ineffective. And all you have to do is ask Brandon Judd, Border Patrol. You could ask any of them. Tom Homan. We had the best people that we've ever had, and they said Trump was the best president on the border ever. She ripped up every single reform that we put in place to stop asylum fraud. She ended a travel ban that was unbelievably successful. We had the strongest travel ban anywhere in the world, and it was upheld by the United States Supreme Court. She canceled Title 42. That was a medical title. She canceled it. Very hard to get. And altogether, she took 93 executive orders that I put on, all which made the border the best border we've ever had in recorded history. And she terminated them along with Joe Biden. The worst administration in the history of our country. And on the border, it's not even close. Because of these acts, in less than 4 years, 21 million illegal aliens at least. That's the real number. You don't hear that year. 15, 16. Sometimes you hear 17. The number is at least 21 million. And on top of that, you have gotaways. That's gotaways. That's people that came over or got away. And they've stormed across our border like nobody in history on any border anywhere in the world. There's never been any border in history where you had millions of people storming us like that. No third world country would allow it. But she allowed it because she's incompetent. She allowed it because she never went there. She says she went once, but it was not the right location. It was a location that was very mild and no danger. She never went there. She's going there tomorrow after almost 4 years. She's going there tomorrow to try and show you what a great job she did. But even now, the numbers are terrible. And remember, they're flying people over, and they haven't stopped that. They're flying hundreds of thousands of people over the border right now. They never stopped that. They didn't think they'd be caught, but they were 2 weeks ago. From prisons and jails, mental institutions, and insane asylum. All these insane asylums where you have the sickest people, mentally ill people, and terrorists at record levels. We've never had terrorists come into our country like this. They come, and they keep coming and coming, and nobody has ever seen anything like it. People that go to the border, they look professionals, and they said there's never been anything like this in the history of the world, and they are destroying the fabric of our country. She did nothing to stop any of it. In fact, she encouraged them to keep coming, and you know that. For years she did. Only recently did she say, oh, well, we're going to try and put a stop to it. And I ask again, you know, this should be the why didn't she do it speech. Why didn't she do it? All of these things, including unrelated elements to what we're talking about now, like taxes, like military, like so many other things. Why didn't she do it? She's got plans for the future. Why didn't she do it? She's been there almost 4 years. Kamala created a brand new program to fly in migrants from Venezuela, Haiti, and Nicaragua and resettle them in American communities, including small towns all across our nation, but in particular in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, and North Carolina. Nobody can believe it. These towns have been destroyed, and the mayors of the towns and the governors of the states can't talk about it because they're embarrassed that they allowed it to happen. In addition, through her phone app, something totally new now, it's a phone app for migrants, where migrants call in, highly sophisticated migrants. She's allowed virtually unlimited numbers of illegals to press a button, schedule their illegal immigration appointment at our ports of entry, and show up to be released into the interior of our country. Can anybody believe this? And they're invading our towns. It's an invasion of our country like no country has ever had to suffer before. And this was purposeful. They did this on purpose. This was not a mistake on their part. They did this on purpose because their policies are so wrong and so evil and so unfair. And there's only three reasons they'd want to do that. Number one, they're incompetent. And I'm not sure that that's the reason. Number two, they want it for the votes. Number three, you know what that one is. We don't have to talk about that one. But there can only be a very few reasons, because they're destroying our country at a level that's never been seen before. Importantly, as part of this con job, it's a con job. None of the illegal aliens she is smuggling in through the ports or on the airplanes. Think of it. Big jet planes loaded up with migrants flying into the middle of our country and going to Iowa and lots of other states. They've all become border states. We only have border states now. But they're counted in the Border Patrol statistics. And when you do that, you can add a lot of numbers because they're not taking those counts. They want to have those counts not included in the numbers. In Aurora, Colorado, Springfield, Ohio.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back for 30 minutes of nonstop talk. We'll continue with President Trump making remarks from New York City, so don't go away.
Towns.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.